probably obvious that hospitals can be high-stress environments, and it's not just patients who can get agitated and upset. Sometimes it's also coworkers. Last week, we heard about how some see tolerating violence in healthcare as part of the job. In the latest installment of our series, Part of the Job, FM 89's Laura Tsutsui reports that healthcare educators have been trying to change that culture of harassment and violence before their students reach the workforce.
Ray Purcell is a nurse practitioner and spent 3 decades in private practice and hospitals in Kern County. In those settings, he says he saw his fair share of threats and violence. He says one night when he was working in the urgent care facility, he upset a coworker.
It was at the end of the shift. It was about midnight. Staff was just going home. They were kept over late. And physician chose to confront me in a dark parking lot. Was very angry. And it's terrifying.
Purcell says the dispute was small. He was moving patients into the physician's department, and the physician thought it was unnecessary and got mad. Purcell says that the encounter was intimidating, but not life-threatening, so he tried to move on.
It was clear that even though I'd extended apology, it wasn't accepted. And it's a very strained piece with that particular physician.
Eventually, Purcell moved jobs, but the incident still sticks in his mind. He says healthcare workers deal with a lot of incivility, both from each other and patients, in part because it's a stressful environment. He says violence wasn't something he remembers discussing in college, but he acknowledges that his education was 30 years ago.
Even as a student nurse, a very long time ago, if a doctor came onto the floor, you'd be there working as a student, and there would be times that established physicians in the community doing rounds and seeing patients would expect nurses to stand, give their chairs, to interrupt their own work.
Dr. Janine Spencer is a professor of nursing at Fresno State. She's seen similar incivility in her career, and she tries to teach her students to be aware of what can happen.
But we also tell them that we really should not tolerate bullying. We shouldn't tolerate any kind of incivility. And so it is our responsibility to report those things and to kind of rely on, you know, the chain of command to help to deal with those very uncomfortable situations.
Spencer says the curriculum also covers dealing with patients in various settings, like a psychiatric department, where there's often a higher risk of violence from patients.
In the psychiatric setting, actually, we do a lot of role-playing. We try to teach the students how to be therapeutic. We try to teach them how to identify early on, you know, those signs, and to take significant measures to de-escalate the situation.
In general, Spencer says they try to prepare students for the real world.
I think the best way we get to that is really, again, we have to be aware of our environment, but we also have to be proactive in you know, speaking up for ourselves.
It's not just nurses who deal with the spectrum of peer-to-peer or patient-to-provider threats and violence. Dr. Lori Weikenthal is an assistant dean at UCSF Fresno. She says that her graduate students also receive a lot of training about how to avoid an incident.
And then just also the common, you know, practical things like, you know, you don't wear something around your neck that somebody could, you know, choke you with, and, you know, just being aware of your own safety.
She says that while safety isn't new to the curriculum, she thinks they spend more time discussing it today. Part of it, she says, is because of their location and awareness of local gang violence.
But I think it certainly has escalated in the last 10 years, where it's not just that we're worried about gangs, but we're worried about people with mental health issues that aren't getting appropriate care. We're worried about people who just are, you know, angry and upset because, you know, they have long wait times and there's a lot of boarding of patients in the emergency department.
Weikenthal adds that the burden to reduce violence shouldn't just be on healthcare providers.
There also needs to, you know, be a no-tolerance policy and an understanding from the patients that there are certain types of behaviors that won't be accepted.
She acknowledges that there are circumstances where a patient may be mentally ill and unaware of what they're doing, but even then, she says civility should be expected. Jonna Pagaduan is a recently certified nurse at Valley Children's Hospital. She graduated from Fresno State in December. When she thinks about how her education prepared her to address violence, she says a lot of it was preventative.
We do have, it's part of the fundamentals of nursing, how to communicate and how to deal with behaviors that can escalate to being aggressive.
At the same time, Pagaduan says there are moments when she tolerates agitated families because she wants to be sympathetic.
It might be I have a different bias against it just because I'm coming from the perspective that they're unhappy, they don't want to be in the hospital, of course, they're sick. Like, I give them that leeway as well, that if they do become angry, say, and start yelling, that I'd be okay and calm about it. But now that you ask me about it, I don't think it should be part of the workplace.
Pagaduan says, despite knowing how to handle people, she doesn't think she'll completely avoid aggressive behaviors in a hospital. So while she doesn't think it should be, maybe violence is an unavoidable part of the job. And the best that healthcare workers can do is to be prepared. For Valley Public Radio, I'm Laura Satsui.